It's time for that great holiday tradition, adding to the balance you owe on your credit card. Well, you can cushion things a bit if you have one of those credit cards that gives you a cash back reward based on how much you spend and what you buy. However, this could be the last holiday season where using those and other types of credit cards will be as simple and convenient as you've grown accustomed to. Thanks to a recent lawsuit settlement, merchants can now be, let's say, more selective with which credit cards they accept and what the cost of card use could wind up being for you, the consumer. To examine what this lawsuit was all about and the potential impact of on you is Director of Finance Policy, Senior Fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, John Berlow. How are you today, John?
Thanks, Chris. It's always a pleasure to be on and talk about what we're doing at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org.
And this is one of those complicated issues that you are making great sense of. And like John said, the website will learn more about this. And the other focus of CEO of Competitive Enterprise Institute is indeed CEI.org. We have that link at our homepage as well. One of the two sides in this lawsuit had to be determined because this took about 20 years to get to this point. What's the background on all this?
The background, it's a very interesting background. They were saying that Visa and MasterCard itself were a competitive threat, but there wasn't really interest in the settlement isn't doing, if that's the case, of breaking them up. It's instead charging of forced reduction in the settlement enforced by the courts of fees they paid, the processing fees called the interchange fees by about 10 basis points. But what we've seen has happened before when, like with debit cards and like proposals with credit cards, is that usually those shifts of, you know, processing credit cards and things like fighting fraud and the technical infrastructure are transferred to consumer in the terms of more fees and, in this case, probably fewer rewards.
I'm looking at this as I started doing the background study for this, and in a way, this is not totally new to the consumer world because mainly among smaller businesses, like a diner by me, for example, if you're going to pay with a credit card versus cash, they tack on. I think it's a 1 1/2% or 2 1/2%. Is that in effect what's going to be happening now through this decision, just on a wider scale?
Well, on a wider scale, with even more confusion, a merchant could still have that, but you could whip out, you know, your premium credit card, your regular credit card, your whole consumer or business credit card, and they could either say we don't take that, or we're adding on, you know, specific surcharges for that card, because this allows them under the Honor All Cards agreement, which the credit cards would negotiate with their retailers that took them, to reject certain types of credit cards. So you don't know, even with a sign that's saying there's a surcharge for credit card, if they would even take your other credit card or how much they would be charging for a specific credit card until you pay your bill, which is someplace like, especially like you mentioned a diner, a gas station, you can't put gas in the back of the tank. It's going to cause a lot of confusion and potentially raise costs for consumers.
Well, if you're impatient waiting in line at a checkout counter, you're about to walk into a hell by the sound of this thing.
Yes, I mean, yes, it is. And people like, you know, you mentioned, you know, with adding to your credit card bill, even if you pay your bills on time, you know, for the rewards, it's going to affect those credit card holders too. And plus, this is not some of the retailers have said this is not the end of it. They want the government to basically force down these fees, which again is kind of, you know, Walmart, it would end up some of the big retailers would be paying less fees, whereas consumers would have to pay, would get fewer rewards, fewer airline rewards, and may have to pay more of consumer bank fees.
The settlement divides credit cards into now three categories. So a credit card is not always going to be a credit card, in manner of speaking. It's commercial cards, premium or rewards cards, and standard no rewards cards. I'm thinking, obviously a majority of Americans have some sort of credit card. Is one demographic of card going to be more immune than others? What's going to be the impact of that three-card division now, three-card Monty, I guess we can call it?
Well, it'll be interesting to see, but sometimes the cards with more rewards, the merchants might have to pay more fees. I mean, you have to pay more fees now. The trade-off is, you know, that they get more business, and also generally with credit and debit card processing, you know, they reduce things as, you know, some of their own costs, like with check fraud or a check that will bounce and things like that. That's all taken care of. But they're going to, so yeah, some of the reward cards, like the people use, you know, for, you know, every income category, middle class, you know, to, you know, grandparents to fly home for the holidays to see their grandchildren, are going to see, you know, either surcharges or outright rejection of the cards now from more retailers because of the settlement.
There are certainly federal laws that oversee the credit industry at all aspects. I never knew there were so many elements, too. You always wondered who is paying what in the credit chain or dominoes as they fall over. How does this lawsuit line up with, and the settlement line up with, current federal laws overseeing the credit card industry?
Well, this was actually an enforcement in some ways of federal laws that there's under the antitrust laws. There's a private, there's what's called private right of action, where you can sue if you think somebody's violating it. But it's unclear how this has violated it, if the action is the structure that was supposedly anti-competitive. I don't believe it is anti-competitiveness, because Visa and MasterCard are, you know, they have, you know, there are players like Discover and now like cryptocurrency, all types of buy now, pay later. But nothing really is done to the structure of Visa and MasterCard and the cooperative sort of they have with, that they began with community banks in a way that's, you know, that's a good thing, because a lot of that community banks can issue Visa, but now it means that they're going to have, if they issue one type of card, those community banks and credit unions also may lose out.
Former John Berlau, who is Director of Finance Policy, Senior Fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. How is this going to impact, you mentioned smaller banks, is this going to impact access to credit and credit cards for people with fewer banks, especially the smaller banks not wanting to get involved with paying more fees for a service that maybe they don't strongly rely on?
That'll be interesting. Well, I mean, it's sort of a bundle that community banks, it's a good question, community banks and credit unions offer their customers, and if they were not offering, you know, credit cards, that people would go elsewhere. But this means that the particular credit cards they offer, even though there's still the thing where you have to honor all issuers in the credit card, and you can't just say, I won't take it from this bank, but if there's a particular category that the community bank or credit union specializes, say business cards, and some retailers don't want to take the business or commercial credit cards, that could affect them. And of course, the community banks, you know, being smaller in general, they rely more on the interchange, the processing fee revenue than some of the bigger banks. So they're going to be affected by that too.
Now, as we said, the settlement indicates that this is a done deal, albeit it took 20 years to get this to this point. How fast, and in your view, how logical/organized can all this be implemented without causing mass confusion, refusals of purchases, denials of, you know, what's the swamp likelihood of all this?
Well, it will be interesting. I mean, the settlement, and it's still not a final deal. A judge still has to approve it. I think that'll happen in a couple months. Whether the judge approves it. And there are also provisions that retailers have to disclose if they're going to take any action, surcharges against certain type of cards, not type of cards. And part of it is disclosure to consumers. The question is, you know, how strongly will that be disclosed to consumers? I can tell you now, sometimes I haven't seen, I don't know until I get the check or even after. It's in very small print sometimes at a restaurant. I'm not going to name names, but there's a surcharge for a credit card. And I've seen gas stations post the cash price without saying that's the cash price. So I think disclosure is going to be a big part of the thing, that the consumers at least have something, you know, when they go in the store, before they go in the checkout line, of what the charge is there and what cards they take or don't take.
Just with our society being sue happy, as I like to call it, I can see a consumer class action suit in the making once all this finally does become established.
Right, a lawsuit to counter a lawsuit, or states may, you know, have the option of saying, you know, this is, you know, of banning like surcharges for cards. So, and this lawsuit doesn't preclude that. So retailers' surcharges may face some action, you know, from state laws as this people goes into effect, and if it has some particularly negative effects.
If I'm understanding right, just to wrap up this here, I didn't want to get too into the weeds here to confuse the person listening, but it's still, information has its value. who is paying fees on the credit card? Because a lot of people consider it to be the retailer, the point of purchase. That's who's paying the fee on the credit card. Is that always the case, majority of the case? You know, with all these fees that were negotiated and the over-the-time dropping of them, who's footing the bill on that?
It would be the retailers, but somebody is going to have to pay the money, like to say, to fight fraud or hacking, identity theft. I mean, the costs aren't going to disappear. So more of those costs, like when you had the Durbin Amendment for Dodd-Frank or some of the, or what would happen if you had proposed legislation like Durbin-Marshall now, is more of those costs are going to be shifted to consumers in terms of fewer rewards or just, you know, surcharges consumers pay. Can be charged now as courts are, as this settlement sort of weakens the agreements, the contracts that credit cards had with retailers. So consumers are going to pay more of the costs that the businesses used to pay, and you know businesses would get in return from those as much as someone like to complain. I mean, people will spend more with credit card, not just you know more than they have, but more like if you don't not having to carry cash in the wallet. So it's going to be another cost shifting from businesses, including some of the biggest retail chains, to consumers.
And when you look at the sheer stats, about 175 million consumers have at least one credit card. That's obviously making the most common method of making a purchase. 85% of the credit cards issued today are rewards cards, which are becoming, well, I won't say an endangered species, but not as easy to use as we've all been accustomed to. So the frustration factor of all this is high, to say the least, at least as a layperson. And as I am looking at this, find out more if you want to study more in depth about this. That is one of the many focuses of the Comparative Enterprise Institute. You can find more information at CEI.org. He is their Director of Finance Policy, Senior Fellow John Berlau. John, thanks for helping us better understand what's about to happen in the process of happening and how it's going to impact us as a consumer. Thanks, as always, for being here.
Thanks for your great questions, Chris. Pleasure to be on.